But today, if you were with us last week, we're going to be in the book of 1 Kings. A different message, but we talked about Elijah last week. We was in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm just going to read this here quickly, and then we'll get into what the Lord wants to speak to us today. But Elijah had a word from the Lord. And he was told to go to King Ahab and give it to him. Some people ain't going to like what you got to say. If God says, say it, say it. You might have to go run and hide for a little bit. God's got your hiding place taken care of too. Amen. This is what it says. Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead, chapter 17, verse 1. He said to King Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, your God's alive, he's not dead. Amen. Before whom I stand, well, God's not a man that Elijah could see, but he wasn't seeing him with these eyes. He saw him with his heart. And he said something to Elijah. Go stand before that king and tell him, I'm paraphrasing, it ain't going to rain king on the land until God tells me and I tell you. For these years without rain. Man, if he said weeks would have been bad enough, but he said years. I guess the king didn't quite believe him, because if I'd have been, I'd been repenting. I said, whoa, man, I know what, without rain, we can't make it. So he didn't believe the word of the Lord, did he? See, God don't want bad things to happen to people, but if they don't believe his word, they do. Bad things happen, because if you don't have the blessing, what's behind the blessing? The backside, which is the curse. It's the wilderness. God don't want you cursed. He wants you blessed. Yes. The word of the Lord, and after he delivered that, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, get thee hence, and get thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that's before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook. And God says, I have, past tense, commanded the ravens, the birds of the air, to feed you there, where God told him to go. So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook before Jordan. The birds, just like God said, you gave this morning. God said, give, and it shall be given. Expect to be given to you. Amen? If it's not given, you need to, Lord, you need to hear the word of the Lord. Am I supposed to be there? Am I supposed to be at this job? Amen? Now talk to God before you just decide to leave somewhere. Amen? Make sure. Come ask the pastor. Get somebody that hears from God too. Godly counsel, not just anybody's counsel. And because you want to get in agreement and say, okay, this is what God's telling me to do. Because God wants you blessed. That's his whole purpose. In the beginning, God blessed them, saying, God's always got something to say. Amen. Ravens brought him flesh in the morning and the evening, three meals a day, right? And water. And after a while it came to pass, verse 7, the brook dried up. Uh-oh. That's the word of the Lord coming to pass. There ain't going to be no rain in the land. So that brook's drying up. If where you're working at is not giving you what you need, that God knows you need, if it's drying up, he's got another place for you. Amen? Amen. But you need to stay hooked up in the vine. Because that vine, without the water from the roots, and you the branch, you're going to dry up and wither away. You ain't going to have no fruit. See, God, the Father, he's the root system. Jesus is the vine. He is divine. Oh, man, it just goes right in there. He is the vine, but he is divine. He is God, the Son. He came to this earth. He brought back the blessing to the earth. The earth was cursed. Earth is cursed, right? Not your earth, because Jesus blessed it for you. He brought back the blessing. So you're dirt, right? We were created from dirt. So you're blessed. Yeah. This earth is cursed, but you're blessed. Yeah. Because Jesus, he's a new creation in Christ. That's you. See, he came from the earth too, but God was in him. And he went to the center of the earth, and God took him out of it. Because he took all that sin, all that curse to the center. See, but a lot of people, if they don't have Jesus as the center of their life, that curse is in the center of their life. Amen? All this is just, this is free. This ain't in the notes. Amen? But there's paper in front of you and pens. If you need to make a note, make a note if God speaks to you. Because your mind will want to wander and go to Bojangles, to McDonald's, to Pizza Hut. They have buffets from 12 to 2. But see, there's food here that you need that's more important than that right now. Your body's screaming at you. It don't want you to hear the word of the Lord. It don't want you to go hide, Brother Brooke, where your protection is. It wants you to get out there in the world where they're having a buffet. Not all these buffets are good. They might have a real good price, but you don't know what's going on in the kitchen.
That's right.
But God does. Amen. Amen. Don't go to that. If he says don't go to that place that day. But even if you miss the word of the Lord, you've got mercy. Because I heard somebody say, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Ask the Apostle Paul. He's in heaven, but he wrote it down. He was in a shipwreck. Wasn't his fault. He was a sailor. Jim? Well, he might not have been a sailor, but he was with some guys that sailed ships. They supposed to know what they're doing, but they didn't listen. There was a storm coming. How did Paul know? God told him. He said, there's a storm coming. And he told them, but just like King Ahab, we sailing. It looks good. We got fuel in the boat. We're going. Paul said, it's going to be bad. And it got bad, but he had hope. An angel came and appeared to Paul, not only for Paul's sake, but for all the people that was on the boat. He says, if they'll listen to me, they'll live. He said, because God's will for them is to live. They need to hear the gospel, the good news. And then when Paul said, when it got bad and the ship got destroyed, he said, but we all going to make it. You're all going to live. Listen to me and you'll live. He had the words of life coming straight from heaven. Now, it cost them a boat wreck. They had to, thank God they knew how to swim. Mama don't know how to swim, my mama. But you know what? Jesus will make her float. If the devil got her in a storm, wrecked her boat, because she serves Jesus. See, Jesus will do what you can't do. Amen. He's your lifeboat. He's your life raft. He's your life savior. Amen. If you get caught in the storms of life, Jesus, help me, Lord. He's right there when Peter was sinking. He didn't go under. See, you might be sinking sometimes, but if you call out to Jesus, you won't go under. But you got to call out. You got to ask. You got to ask. James says, you have not because you ask not. What do you need? Ask God. Tell him. He knows what you need. Tell him what you want. Because the devil knows what you need too. He don't want you to have it. He knows you need finances, money to preach the gospel, to help people. He don't want people knowing about Jesus. Just tell him tough. My God's bigger than your God. That's what Elijah said at the later on in this story. My God's bigger than your God. That we ain't going to get that far today, maybe. But now we're getting on to the message of this week. After he delivered that word, went and hid by the brook dried up, water dried up, birds quit coming with food. What'd he do? Well, bless God, I guess I'm out of the will of God. Sometimes Christians, I got to go, I got to do something. I got to find me another place. No, you got to listen for the word of the Lord. Church is a good place to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. It's a good place to be. Amen. You don't have to hide in here. Amen. Doors are open. And we hear the voice of the Lord. So when the word comes, then you move, then you go. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise. Arise, my love. I love that song. Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. What's the grave represent? Death. If you got grief, if you're grieving this morning over somebody you know, somebody you don't know, if you got grief, that's not from God. We got hope.
Yes.
Jesus, we're not supposed to sorrow as the world sorrows. Now, when I'm talking about grief, I'm talking about, it's okay when you lose somebody. I lost a friend 3 days ago. Took a gun and shot himself. That made me angry. I've lost a few friends that way. But I'm believing I heard the voice of the Lord that said, Lord, I pray that he knew you. And he said, he did. And I prayed he's with you. He said, he is. And I got peace now. But that don't help his family right now.
That's right.
When I'm saying him being gone doesn't help his family, they got to turn. I got to give them some hope. I got to go pray with them. I got to give them the word. You don't need grief. There's no hope in grief. The hope is if they knew Jesus, man, we're going to see them again. Man, they're no longer suffering. Whatever was bad in their life. Now, you got to understand, I used to believe that if you committed suicide, you went to hell. That ain't what the Word teaches. The Word teaches that you go to hell if you don't receive Jesus.
That's right.
Once you get born again and receive Jesus, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is your guarantee. He seals your spirit. He seals it. Ever did some canning? Mom ever did some canning? You hear those seals when she makes something real good, she puts it in a pot and turns the heat up and you hear that seal go. Yep. It's canned until who opens it? Till you open it. Amen? So you're sealed until Jesus opens it. Amen? He's the one that opens up the seals. And nobody can get in. The devil can't get in your spirit, man. See, you are a spirit, soul, and a body. My friend and his soul, I don't know what was going on, but he said it's better that he just shoot himself. If he knew Jesus, he's in heaven. But there's people hurting down here. See, that's not God's will. That's not God's plan. But nobody can keep, once you turn your salvation over to Jesus, you are the only one that can open that seal and just reject Jesus. Amen? Because your mind, that's where the devil gets in there, and he possesses people. So, it pays to get into your book in the Bible and read and then listen to the Holy Ghost. Because, man, I got hope. I'm going to see my friend again, but I need to pray for their family. He's got daughters. This was a high school graduate buddy of mine. We hung out. We done stupid stuff together. Teenagers, we wasn't serving Jesus back then. See, I remember those times. I'm like, man, Lord, thank you for your mercy, for your grace. But then I saw him, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. Looks fine, talking fine. If you got a problem, go to somebody. Amen. Get wise counsel. Amen. Because God's got a plan for you. Yes. It's a good plan. You're promised at least 80 to 120 down here. He wasn't but 53. That wasn't God's plan. No. Amen. God's plan is, like I heard Brother Kenneth Copeland last night giving testimony of Gloria Copeland's little brother that died in a... He was a brick mason. And he just loved God and was enjoying life. But he was in another man's vehicle, sleeping. And that guy, I don't know what happened, the whole story, but he ran off the road, went over a hill, and the truck crashed and burned. And there he is. He's gone. But they had a witness, somebody that died and went to heaven. A friend of the Copelands died, went to heaven, saw Jesus. Saw this one guy that wasn't really sure who he was. But then the Lord said, you got to go back. You got to tell people about me and how good I am about heaven, how great it is. And that person met Gloria one day and told her about this fellow she met in heaven. And he came up to her in heaven and said, go back and tell Gloria I'm all right. I didn't feel a thing. Because, see, Gloria was hurting that her brother had to suffer, not even at the wheel, and he burned. But he says, go tell Gloria I didn't feel a thing. And she went back and saw this individual. And the way she knew it just really ministered to Gloria is that you got to know, I can't remember his name because I just listened to it last night, heard his testimony. But he was a brick mason and he hated to wear sleeves because you're always working, it's hot and it's sweaty. Anything on his arms, and I'm kind of like that. I got these sleeves, but if I didn't have to, I'd take those sleeves off. But he had sleeves tore out, cut out of all his shirts. In heaven, he said, that person said when he saw him, he said, he looked kind of funny. He didn't have no sleeves on his shirt. And Gloria knew, nobody knew my brother like I did. That was from God. And it got her out of grief to know that he didn't even feel the flames, Jim. And I believe as a Christian, when you die, you don't experience death. You don't death, where is your sting, the Bible says.
That's right.
Now, I've been stung by a hornet when I was little, and they hurt. That ain't nothing compared to the sting of death. But see, if you're a Christian, you're not going to experience that.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Oh, death, where is your sting? Don't go looking for it. Look for life. Experience life. That's what Jesus said. I come to give you life.
Yeah.
And more abundantly.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
Where was we at? Right where we're supposed to be, right? Don't grieve as others that don't have hope. And you help others get out of grief. If they don't know Jesus, that's a good place to start. Because he took all that. Chapter 17, verse 8, after that happened, God told Elijah, the word came to him, arise, get up out of here. No more water? Okay, Lord. Get to Zarephath. Now, that's a path somewhere in Zarephath. I don't know, but it's an old place in the Old Testament. You know, you got to think sometimes, they didn't have roads back then. I never thought about this, but how in the world do he know where? Well, I guess Zarephath, you walk around, you know, that's the path to Galilee, and that's the path to Jerusalem. That's the path to Zarephath. They knew, but if he didn't know how to get there, I get, God would send a bird, just follow that bird, you know, he'd get you where the Holy Ghost. He wasn't in them, but he was on them. He was in the earth, the Holy Spirit. Give them signs. See, there was brooks. How did Elijah know where? God said, get to the brook Cherith. That's a long brook. Where at, Lord? How did he know when he was there? The food was piling up. Oh, this has got to be it. This is free food. Amen. The buffet, you didn't have to pay for it, Leo. That's the place. That's God. It's got to be God. Now, don't be looking for somebody to always pay for your lunch, but if somebody blesses you, that's God. Amen. You don't have to look for the blessing. It's looking for you. That's what I'm saying. Because when you look for God, you seek God with your whole heart. God's getting people seeking you with the blessing. What you've done for others, God's going to make happen to you. Amen? So that was how a lot of times we know is, man, that's just exactly what I needed to hear that morning. See, that's where we knew where to go to church. It's when we got underneath Jim Howard that he was saying things that we were asking, and he didn't know we were asking, but Jim didn't know either. But he knew God, and God knew what we needed, and the shepherd's there to feed you what you need. See, a lot of times I'm not getting what I need today. You're getting what you need, and when I go back and listen to it, I'll get something. But also, I can get something too when I'm up here. He's just giving me things that you need. See, you're drawing them out. Amen. You're drawing out from the brook. See, there's a well on the inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. Once you're born again, the Holy Spirit is, don't say, in me. Once you get born again, he's in you. Yeah. He comes upon you if you'll let him. Yeah. He comes upon you. That's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost with fire power. I like to say Jesus. See, John baptized with water. You get baptized in water too. I still got one Jackson. We got to get under. His name's Rowan. We got to work. We got to get him underneath this water up here. Not because it's going to keep him out of heaven, but it's just what Jesus said to do.
Amen.
Let all righteousness be fulfilled.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I just want to do what Jesus says do. When we get to heaven, he ain't going to say, well, here's your to-do list. Here's what you didn't do. Amen. And he might not do that. I'm just saying, right? I want to do his to-do list. And God's got something to do. He got a lot to do. Amen. Because there's a lot of people not doing nothing. Does God still love them? Come on. You need to enthusiastically say, yes, he does. Because you need to encourage them people. Amen. They don't need discouragement. That's why they ain't doing nothing. You need to encourage them. Amen. That's a good message right there. That'll preach. Encouragement. The oxygen, I'd say the oxygen of the soul would be one of them. I think Brother Jesse says that. Well, how did Jesse? God told that to Jesse. Duplantis. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Arise, get to Zarephath, Elijah, for I like the I haves in the Bible. God says, I have commanded the richest woman in the world to take care of you. Oh, somebody's read the Bible over here. You would think God, the God of the universe, would send me to the woman that has all my needs. But God sends him to a widow. She don't have no husband. Amen. She's not doing too good. She's got one son, no husband. There's no rain in the land. She grows crops for land, right? Jim Howard, he grows tomatoes. Randy and Jackie, they got gardens too. If you don't have water, you don't have tomatoes. If that's what you're relying on, you don't have no money. The brook's dried up. You think God knew that? He already spoke to Elijah, but before that, he's even commanded a widow woman. So see, don't look for this, all these riches. You're looking for the blessing, because it's the blessing of the Lord that's going to get you the riches so that you can help make somebody else rich. Amen. Not with the financial stuff, with the blessing. And we get to enjoy the riches. That's a good way to look at it. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Ain't that what the word says? I just said a little bit backwards right there. I need some amens out there. I'll never get to the notes. That's the wrong ones. Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, if you ask Jesus to help you, he'll help you, and he makes your messages good. Because sometimes at night, it ain't looking too good. Because God knows I'm hard at trying to put things together. Amen? But he helps. Because I say, Lord, I need help. And he says, I know you do. It's called grace. His grace. Amen? You know, when I was in the world, you know, I worked at Harris Teeter, had a real good relationship with Jerry Stutz. Jerry, if you're listening, I love you, brother. I ain't seen you in a while. But he was the grocery manager at Harris Teeter, and he'd been there a lot. He's 10 years older than I was. But I worked for Harris Teeter for 8 years, and we built a real good relationship. Boy, we get done off work. We go to his house. He had a pool table. I could shoot pool. We had video games. You know, he had a couple kids. I didn't have no kids. So I could stay out late, get up early, because, see, I didn't have all these other extra things to do. So sleep wasn't a big priority back then. So we'd go to Jerry's house, and we'd play pool. But he had kids, man. He had some kids. They'd run around. He had some wild kids. When I say wild, they were good kids. They wild down in the basement. I mean, you got to watch out. They run over you with skateboards. You know, you're trying to get that eight ball in the pocket. And me and Jerry, we bet a little bit of money back then, about $5 a game. The kids, you got to watch out for one flying on the skateboard. I get to shoot that over, Stutz. But I just had a good friend. Where was I going with that? I don't know. Talking about Harris Teeter. Good company, good friends. I didn't know Jesus back then, but I had a good work ethic. I knew what I needed to do, but I was still lost in the world. I had my money. Didn't give the wife what she needed. See, she was making more money than I was. And she's still over all the books and the things of the house and paying for things. But we was in debt. And we wasn't rich. Talking about this riches of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. I didn't have the blessing of the Lord. I had the curse of the earth. Amen. In other words, this is my money. Go to church on Sunday. No, I'm off on Sunday. This is my Sunday. See, I wasn't serving Jesus now. And I wasn't blessed. Ask my wife. She'll tell you, man, our air conditioning didn't work. And we had a single wide trailer that we bought for $6,000 from a buddy of ours that we knew. They were buying. They got a house. What's that song Jerry Reese say? She got the gold mine, I got the shaft. She got the gold mine, I got the shaft. Well, we were getting, for them to have a house, I was like a gold mine, because we was getting their used single wide trailer. And in the wintertime, sometimes the heat worked and sometimes it didn't. You think Sherry's going to get out the bed and go get it going? She's kicking me out the bed. 4 o'clock in the morning. Leo, I could breathe smoke. It was cold, but it was warm underneath the covers. But there was a crack in the firewall so that it would blow out. It was gas. So I had to go light the heater, and then boom, you know, it come on. I'm like, whoa, hoping it don't blow up. See, this was without Christ, without hope. And then you get into summertime, you come home, it's 102 degrees outside. You come in. Oh, no, the candles were melted. Now the air conditioning ain't working. Am I going to church? Am I paying tithes? Do I love God? Nope. Sunday's my day. God knew it. He's just up there twiddling his thumbs. He's coming to me one day. Life's going to be much better. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. There was a day coming. Man, I wish I knew Jesus back in high school. I seen him. I seen Jesus walking around in high school. I seen him in people. I said, nah, I'm a sinner. I mean, I was just caught in all this stuff that I'm never good enough and all these things. But see, that's not the gospel. The gospel is, it ain't what you did, it's what Jesus did for you. And he wants you to live a blessed life. But you got to hear his word, the word of the Lord, and then you got to do what he says to do. And he says, believe. Believe only, and you shall see the works of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord. Elijah's going to Zarephath, not to the richest woman. He arose, went to Zarephath, and when he got to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. Stick woman. We got stick people in the back of our cars, but this wasn't her. She was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, hey, widow woman, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water. He's thirsty. He'd been walking. I don't know how far it was from Cherubith, the Jim, you know, Jim's a good history man. It was a long ways. We'll say it's a long ways by the way the ravens flew, by the way the crow flies, right? So you can find that. God will give you the shortcut, though. I'm sure he didn't go the long way. He went the short way. Because God don't want you out here suffering, right? He wants you getting there as quick as you can, because she's getting ready to die. She don't have no hope. She don't have no hope. She's in grief. Why? Lost her husband. He's dead. Rain. It's not raining. My boy, I can't even provide for him. That's grief. That's in the world without hope. That's darkness. I've been there. We've all been there without Christ. Amen? And he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going, see, she went and did. She could handle that. I'll get you, might as well, I'll get him water. He's thirsty. I'm sure he was all sweaty. Elijah said he was a hairy man. Man, you think about walking up there in the sun all day, sweaty, hairy. He didn't look good. He probably didn't smell good. She probably caught him coming, depending on how the wind was blowing. Yeah, I'll get you a water. I'll get you a bucket. You need to wash yourself. Put yourself in that picture. This is in the desert, right? This is over there in the hot lands. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, hey, while you're getting my tea, can you bring me a Bojangles biscuit too? See, this paraphrasing. Mama, while you up, while you getting that tea, go ahead and warm up my biscuit in the microwave because I'm watching NFL football Sunday. This ain't what Elijah was doing, but you got to think, here's two things. Her attitude changed a little bit here, didn't it? He called to her, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. She had a little bit of attitude. She didn't call God her God. As the Lord thy God liveth. She knew he was a prophet. I have not a cake, but I've just got a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil of cruse. And you're asking me to go make you something? I've got you some water, and I'm paraphrasing here. But you want me to bake you a cake too? All I got's enough for me and my son. I'm going to bake it and we're going to die. And what do you want? You want it first? You want it first? I guess her feathers were all fluffy when he said, and bake it. She got to bake it too. It ain't like she's just going to go get it in the microwave. She got to cook it. She got to get the sticks. See, she's got to get the sticks. She's going camping. And it takes a while to get the fire hot. Then you got to get all that stuff made. And she's sweating to get it done. And that's all she's got. We're getting ready to die. Come on now. Put yourself in her place. And here's a religious man. Tell me about God. Where is God in the world? If God's here, why is all this stuff happening? See, this is what the world's thinking. Amen. Bring it right into our day. And behold, she said, I'm gathering two sticks. We may go dress it for my son, and we may eat it and die. End of my story. She let it out. She vented. We call it venting today. Anybody had anybody vent on you lately? Jack in the back. Hey, I know fast food. I've never worked it, but I've seen people work it. And Jack, you've got the blessing of the Lord that maketh you rich, right? So hang in there, brother. Bless those that curse you because you brought the wrong such and such. Bless and curse not. See, God says, write your ticket. See, they writing their tickets what they want. It's time for you to write your ticket to God. If you ain't got it wrote down, you probably do. Tell him what you want. Amen. Because God, he liveth. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. Amen. He sees your work. He sees the work you want to do for him. Amen. I keep losing my place. I need to tab down this thing. I'm trying to find my place in there. If I just do my little arrow here, it just keep up with me. Look at it. It highlights it. You can't see it, but I can. And Elijah said unto her, help me.
Fear not.
What?
Fear not.
What?
Fear not.
Fear is your problem. He's not your friend.
That's right.
Because God says something, what's the next thing you're going to hear? Fear. Because faith is the opposite of fear. Amen. And when God says something, the devil wants to get that word from you and destroy it. Because he's trying to destroy you. And he know he can't destroy you unless he gets the word out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you ain't going to listen to him. Because you got a prophet. You got a pastor. You got the fivefold ministry gifts that are here to speak life to you.
Yeah.
Encourage you. Warn you. This is why Kathy and Lynn Meek's coming. He's got a gift that God's given to him and his wife. They're going to minister to you. Be here. Ask some other people to be here. Show up. We'll fill the place up. We got an overflow room. It's ready. Getting ready. Almost ready. Amen. If we have to have standing room only, so be it. Amen. I'll stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
I'll stand up to be filled up.
Yes.
Sometimes you need to stand up to be filled up. I think that just sounded real good. Amen. You know, you can get more. You can, I mowed the grass the other day. You go to the gas station, you take the gas cap off, and you fill it up. And so, lo and behold, somebody here comes, an old man, he's mowing too. Now, when I say old, he's older than me. I have to watch him get in trouble here. I get on the older side of the church. This older feller came up, and he had a lawnmower too. He says, man, ain't this grass growing? I said, it sure is. I just filled my gas can up. I'm putting my thing back on the can to put in the back of the truck. And it's okay to fellowship, but, you know, men, we can't do two things at one time. Effectively, right? Unless God's giving you two things at one time, then you can do it. But it'd be a miracle of God because women are designed to do that, not men. And if you learn that, men, it'll help you, all right? Women just don't understand us. We don't understand them either. We just got to go to God. What does God say? He tells us about it. But the gas, so I get on up here. It wasn't the church. It was somebody else. And I get there, and the cap's off. And here I've drove. I'm like, oh, man, all that gas, I've lost it. But it wasn't. It just kind of wiggled itself on down to the rest of the tank. Because, see, you've got a little air bubble in there. So, see, what you thought you've lost, you haven't. Amen?
Amen.
God's got you covered. See, like I was talking to somebody, I lost my train of thought, and I forgot to put the cap back on the lawnmower. But never feel it. See, it's talking about being, sometimes you got to stand up to be filled up. Amen? Because, see, if you're sitting down, you can't get as much in. Sometimes just stand on up and get filled up. Because, see, if that thing would be completely filled up, that gas wouldn't be able to wiggle on down in there. But I didn't have it quietly filled up. See, God wants you filled up and overflowing in His Word, in His presence. Amen?
Amen?
To overflow. Now, you don't want to overflow with gas. You want to overflow with the Word of God. Because, see, I was looking for gas to be everywhere on my seat, but it wasn't. God looking after me. Amen?
Amen?
He knew that guy was coming. He made me stop and just didn't pump it on in. And then he knew I was going to leave that cap off. See, if you're serving God, He'll still watch over your stuff. See, that'd been money lost. Gas lost. That'd been about 20 minutes on my lawnmower. Lost. But God says, I got you taken care of. Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as I have said, but as you have said, but make me a little cake first. Little cake. He didn't say big one, did he? He's starting off. Maybe he knew she was fired up. He backed off a little bit. He backed off. He said, make me a little cake first. Bring it unto me. And after that, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord, not Elijah. See, he's not trying to get this meal from her to bless him. He's trying to get this meal from her so she can be blessed.
Yes.
See, that's what it's about. When you come to church, it ain't about coming to bless the pastor. You're coming here to worship God and bless what God's called you to do. And when you do what God tells you to do, He tells you, don't forsake yourself coming together. Come to church. This is school. This is where we learn. I had to go to high school for 12 years. I learned some, well, I memorized some things. I didn't learn a lot. So don't come here just to remember what pastors said. Learn it. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. You got to study when you leave here. Homework. Somebody get, you need to read 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Need to read here. Because see, God will show you something that you missed before. Now, I'm getting some things I ain't never said before. Make me a little cake first. Bring it to me, and after for your son and for yourself. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. What's impossible for you is possible with God. And she went. Now here's your key. This miracle don't take place. The word of the Lord came, but she's got to believe it. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. That's the way that's the laws of the kingdom. God says, I believe, I do. I have. Amen? It's simple. Don't make it hard. And don't work it yourself. You can't work the miracle. That's God's part. You give Him the ingredients. Amen? You give Him the ingredients. You give Him your faith. You give Him the Word, you give Him, and you walk in love. Amen? That's the keys to success. Did you get that? Give Him the Word, give him your faith. Well, you got to have his word mixed with your faith, walking in love, and you get to eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Eat the fruit thereof. Praise the Lord. It's quiet in here. You could hear a pin drop. Almost. Amen. Don't get used to it. It's not quiet in heaven.
We're soaking it in.
We're soaking it in. I think I hear the abundance of the air conditioning getting ready to come on. I hear a little fan. Hear the abundance of the fan. You're blessed. Don't let anybody else tell you you're cursed. It's something else I heard Brother Copeland say last night. It's good. See, I went home. You can do him live where he just had a victory campaign in Orlando. Generational curses. You think it's just a demonic attack over, which it is, but you can stop it. Because generational curses is things you were taught and things you believed and things you said. And if you say it to your house, to your children, guess what? It's coming in the next generation.
That's right.
Stop it. Get into the Word. That's how you stop it. And you stop the generational curse. You be the one that stops it.
Yes.
Amen. I was the one in the Jackson family. Because Dad, he was an alcoholic. He was abusive. Now, I'm not saying my other kids were, but I stopped it in my life. I ain't talking about my other siblings. I stopped it in my life.
Yes.
The generational curse. Now, see, you can do that without Christ. You have your own will. You can determine, my dad was drunk. I ain't going to be a drunk, and you won't drink. You can, because that's a law of faith. It's a principle. But you can still be lost because Jesus is the one that gets you found. That's the way to heaven. That's the way to paradise. Who wants to be the soberest man go to hell? I mean, be sober, don't drink, don't smoke, have all these things, but left the most important thing that Mary found at the feet of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He counted me worthy when I was dirty to sit at His feet. Amen?
Amen.
I thank Him for that. I didn't have to get up and go pay my tithes to get saved. I didn't have to go join the choir to get saved, to get these points to Jesus. I just went to Jesus and He said, I love you. Thank you for coming home.
Yes.
Amen. Because He's been after me, but see, He ain't going to make you do anything. But He'll love you all the way home. Amen.
Yes.
I was thinking about this upcoming meeting because Harold's got us a seat for the convention. And I was thinking about me and my wife as I was watching him last night. Brother Copeland, he got down there in the crowd. You know, he's over here, and he put his hand on somebody over here, and he's over here spitting, you know, because he's, when I say spitting, he's just preaching, but sometimes spit come out. I guess that's why nobody sits up front up here. I've been spitting sometimes, but it's okay. I got peppermint. It'll smell pretty good, won't it, Randy? I try to contain myself. That's why I got my paper right here. If I feel a spit coming, I'll put my paper up. I feel good to laugh in church, too. But I thought about my wife. I said, look at there, Sherry. I said, we get down to Charlotte. I said, I'm not sure where them seats are, but I just believe Brother Copeland's going to be our way. I mean, just I'm not exalting a man. I'm exalting a man that believes God,
yes,
that honors God.
Yes.
I'm not following the man. I'm following his heart. I mean, he has a heart for the things of God. I don't look at what people say that don't know him. They don't know the man. They said him about Jesus. They called him a charlatan, friend of sinners to Jesus. Yeah, he was. I'm glad he was. Because he loved him so much, he took that sin.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. He didn't care what other people said. So I'm going to Zacchaeus' house. They know he's a sinner. Jesus said, that's the one I'm going to go see today. Just tear that religious mind up. He looked up at Zacchaeus. Everybody else wanting. See, I'm thinking about Brother Copeland. I believe Sherry's going to be there. He's going to put her hand on his shoulder and that anointing. Because see, that's how she met Jesus in our home. She got born again first. She said she felt the hand of the Lord upon her shoulder. Says, child, I'm here. I just thought about, because Copeland, he walked around, he was talking to somebody, he just put his hand on somebody's shoulder. I'm like, whoa. Because you get somebody that's anointed and you believe, that anointing is transferable.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
I was like, whoa, brother, you better look out. Something getting ready to overtake you. You got to believe that. Receive it. You're not receiving something from Kenneth. You're receiving it from Jesus through Kenneth Copeland. Amen. You receive your miracle from God. But he's got to have a voice in the earth to bring it to pass, to get it out there. Somebody to believe. Yes. Believe his word. I keep looking at this, but it's not in here. That's my shield. I had to edit that out. That's my spit shield. Hey, Jesus spit on mud and put it in somebody's eye. Yes. And they could see. Amen. It's okay to say spit in church. If Jesus says spit on the ground, put in somebody's eyes is blind, do it. Yeah. Amen. Forget about your reputation. You ain't supposed to have one anyway. If you do, you need to get rid of it. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do what the man of God says do, or woman of God. And then the word of the Lord came, and she did. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And he and her, see, and he and her house ate many days. Ate many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. It wasn't overflowing, but it wasted not, because that's what he said. I think that's all the faith she had for, because she had already believed that God's going to have to do a miracle for her and her son to live. She had some faith, but she didn't know what was going to happen or how it was going to happen. She just knew all these things that she heard about God, really, it just wouldn't. I really believe God loves everybody. I think that was in her heart. She just needed somebody that believed that to share it with her. And Elijah knew what she needed to do. See, you don't need people to tell you what to do. You need people to show you what to do. See, because you got by faith reach out there and say, I can do that through Christ. I can do that. Amen. That barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Your provision is hooked to your decision. Your provision, what you need for tomorrow, is hooked by what you decide today. The main thing we decided today before communion was make sure, if you don't know Jesus, receive him. Amen. How do you receive him? Lord, I need you. I'm lost. That's what I did. I didn't know the Bible. I knew I'd heard some word that I knew if I went to, I got the context, I knew where I needed to be. I'd heard it, and I went to Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. I believed it. And then, guess what? God sent me some people that had been preaching to us anyway and invited me to church before I knocked holes in the walls after they left. Told my wife, don't you get them people up here. I got mad, boom, knocked a hole in the wall. It's a true story, ask my wife. But I'm a carpenter a little bit. I fixed it later after I got saved because I didn't care before then. We put a picture over it. Put a picture over it. Because see, religious people don't want to go to church. Definitely unsaved people don't want to go to church. But there's religious people don't want to hear the truth. I need to say it that way. Because truth will set you free. But when I was at home and I believed myself at home that day, and because the Holy Spirit was drawing me, and I let him draw the picture, and I signed my name on it, my confession. I got in the Word, and I said, I believe this, and I confessed it. That's more like you writing your ticket. And then they asked me to church. They might have been kind of like, maybe they asked Sherry to ask me to go to church. I said, yeah, let's go. See, Sherry had already been saved. She'd been praying for me. And then I received Christ by myself and got asked to go to church and went and did and got what?
They wanted to ask.
Now here's the rest of the story.
And I explained to him, well, he doesn't really like to go to church. And I don't know if it's a good idea to ask him because I knew what happened last time. Well, do you mind if we do? I said, well, I just want to warn you if he just don't take it personally, if he just says no. They went in there, and he said, yes, I'd love to. And I went. I didn't know what all went on while he got born again or whatever. But that's how it went.
Say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
That's one of the things he's written in our hearts.
And go do it. Go and do it.
Say yes to Jesus. Yes. There's an anointing in that. Just say yes to Jesus. Uh-huh. If you'll hear that today and just say yes to him, your life will change. I said that because he told me to say that. It was written in the sand for us at the beach. That's another testimony for another day. God had somebody write it in the sand, and I was on the 10th, 11th floor and looked out and had my glasses off because I was believing God for my healing. Still believing God that I'm healed. Amen? Amen. So you got to preach this word in season, out of season. Whether you ever see it, I believe it. That settles it. And one day, everybody's going to be not blurry. But I seen it written in the sand without my glasses on. Somebody wrote in the sand, say yes, and they put a big two right in the middle to Jesus. Amen. I said, that's part of our ministry. That was a personal word God wrote in the sand at the beach down in North Carolina, South Carolina. Amen. That's kind of like he sent people. He didn't send birds. But he could have, couldn't he?
Yes.
To get my attention, to get your attention, he'll do what you'll let him do. See, he'll only do what you let him do. Amen?
Yep.
That clock's running away. Y'all okay? Your provision is hooked to your decision. I guess this will be part two, will be next week. Part one is provision is hooked. We're talking about provision. It's hooked to your decision. And for us to fully reach and do all that God has called for us to do, we must decide to follow His Word. Jesus said, follow me. Don't get ahead of me. Don't be behind me. Follow me. Walk side by side with me. How can two walk together except they be agreed? What have you got to agree on? What the Word says, not what the world says. Amen? Because I did that many years. It wasn't working. We must decide to follow His Word. Do specifically. There's specifics in the Bible. And then there's some things you only get from the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. If you've been born again and never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. That's a part of it. You speak in tongues. We'll be glad to pray for you here to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the one. He's the baptizer. We just get in faith with you that He's already done it. But you need that. You need to be operating. You need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because that's when you hear from heaven that you got static down here, but then it bypasses. You kind of hit that Apollo mission. You get past this atmosphere, Randy, and you get that Holy Ghost. You got a direct connect to the throne of heaven. And then God sends you the answer. And then it comes to your mind. And He says, go to Zarephath. See, that's how Elijah knew. He got it. He got it from God, from the anointing, from the Holy Ghost. He's a spirit. The Holy Spirit, He's right here. He's on the inside of you. He's a person. He talks to you in your language. Amen. And He'll talk to you in your wife's language or your brother's language. I told you about that. She wasn't here last week, or that dream I had. She done gone to the baseball field. Grab it! I said, why? I answered it. And wasn't nobody there. But I got up and I prayed. Because they were on their way. They were on the road. Hey, when you don't know what to pray, when you don't know what's going on, you pray. You feel something in your spirit, you pray in your most holy faith. I did that. I prayed in my natural tongue. And I went back. No, I didn't go back to sleep. I had to get up. I had to get to church. I told y'all about that, didn't I? Pray. Men ought always to pray and faint not. Luke 18:1. Not only is our provision hooked to that decision, but also God's divine protection comes right along with it. See, he hid by the brook Cherith. God fed him, took care of him. If he hadn't, he would have starved to death. Water would have got him first. With no water, you can go without food for a while, but not water. So that was the first thing. God got both of it taken care of. Water and food. Your provision is hooked to your decision. Next week, we'll get into your protection. Amen? They go hand in hand. You ain't got to work for it. You just got to believe and trust God for it. And not only for you, you got children, man. There's no better place to be when in this world, this crazy world that we're in, that's getting darker and darker, that God's covenant, it don't happen in our house. It don't happen in our school where our children are, right? Because God is there with them. If you homeschool your kids, that's fine, but we sent our kids to regular schools. But we sent Jesus into the school. See, we need to pray for our schools and our politicians, all this stuff. But Jesus ain't out of school. They say they kicked him out. Well, yeah, they kicked out the fundamentals, but if my kids are born again, Jesus is in the school. That's where you set the example. Amen? Now, I'm for speaking against things that ain't right. But I'm just saying, don't let the decisions of the world determine what's going to happen in your life. Because it ain't so for people that have a covenant like David with their God. Give me a slingshot and a couple of rocks. I'll take them. David said, I'll take them down. Amen. I was pretty bad with the slingshot. I never could get them slingshots to work pretty good. Amen. Now, I bet my son Dallas could if he was here. Because he was bad. He'd like to climb over the neighbors. He'd climb over our fence and throw rocks at them old cars. The neighbor had some old cars throwing, busting out windows, and it got him in trouble. Man, if that boy had a slingshot, he'd have done it from the house. Dallas was just always into something. He just had to be the one that just had to do something. Just had to do it. Amen. He was a David. Give me something. I'd do it. You heard the word today. Amen. Yeah. You can play that song there, Reed. Daniel, the one we played during communion. If you haven't made a decision for Jesus today, or if you have made a decision, you need us to agree with it and bring your body down a little bit. If you need anything you need, Jesus is your provider. He looked ahead and He provided. He looked ahead before you were even in the mess that you were in. Before God even created this world, Jesus said, I'll be the sacrifice, because God knows the end from the beginning. He knew sin was going to get entered in through the fall of man. And Jesus said, I'll be the sacrifice. There's nothing that you've done too bad that Jesus can't fix. And if you need me to agree with you personally, lay hands on you, pray with you, open up the altar to you right now. I just ask you to do one thing. Get up today. Arise.